live from the Ghost Hunter Store. Brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
Chat room right now, everything's really slow to load, so there might be some sort of delay or stopping, but according to the screen, we are connected, so we're going to go with that. And if not, then you'll be listening to this as a podcast. With us tonight, as usual, my co-host Marty Haynes.
Hey everybody.
And we have four select members of New Jersey's top paranormal group, South Jersey Ghost Research, helping the haunted since 1955. Not that I would be biased in that in any way. Bill McCumber, Kim Petrak, Erica. Can I say your last name? Ebling. And Mandy McCaw. I was deciding whether I was going to say Amanda or Mandy. My brain was misfiring, so I skipped you.
Amanda,
right? It would have came out wrong, so it's just easier just to go to the next person and come back to you. What we're going to be talking about tonight, I have no idea. It's one of those roundtable shows. Now, what I thought of on the way over here was an interesting question. To me, at least. Most people who have the privilege of being inside my head.
That's scary.
It is. All of us in here, all of us inside here agreed yes, this would be a good topic for us to discuss. Us meaning me, and then the rest of you to join in. Yeah. So, I was thinking, because given that we just had a recent case where the woman, when we went out to, where she believed in nothing, she was raised Catholic, like many people, alienated because she was spoon-fed and force-fed the catechism, because she went to Catholic church or Catholic school from elementary through high school. After she had the option to escape or to choose her own path, she looked at it as escaping, ran the opposite direction, but sees organized religion as everything related to Catholicism and the Catholic Church, the way they teach it, and not what... She couldn't even say she was Christian because of... She couldn't separate the two. She couldn't separate what she learned in catechism as to what Christianity was. So what she did find, though, she was able to say that she was into angels. Okay. And she was believed in angels, and specifically St. Michael seemed to be the one that she was really gearing towards. And being the kind of person that I am and the way I do the interviews with the clients, I usually try to throw humor and knock them off balance a little bit to try to get inside so I can get some more personal information.
Get them to relax.
So I'll ask questions that usually they're not expecting, like I asked her if she believed in angels, who made them?
Okay.
Because she didn't believe in God.
Okay.
So I said, so if there is no God, who made the angels? And that just seemed like a good way to start off a good roundtable kind of discussion and see where things go from there. So to me, in my mind anyway, personally, the angels, if you're going to believe the angels like she could, have always been and miraculously appeared, or whatever the two, then believing in God shouldn't be a stretch whatsoever.
No.
Or she wouldn't even go as far as to committing to say there was
a higher being
or a power or anything at all, or a universal consciousness. She couldn't go that far because it would go right. She'd slam right back into the catechism of, you know, the Catholic Church. And again, I'm not slamming the Catholic Church. This is what her words, not mine.
So she believed in angels as a word to help with
specific angels.
She believed in a hierarchy. So with hierarchy, you have to.
Yeah. St. Michael's a protector. St. Michael is a warrior.
Yeah, but there's still a hierarchy.
Right.
There
so
that
she
you have to kind of believe in.
She described it as a heartbeat of the universe. That's how she described it. Well, she said, okay. She, so she wasn't able to put a name or a descriptor to it as like a god or creator or all that is or something, but she described it as she believes there's a heartbeat in the center of the universe.
So the center of the universe
is God.
Is where they all come from. Again, that center being or non-being, whatever it is, mm-hmm.
I think so we tend to pigeonhole it.
But in essence, she does believe in a higher being if she believes in that center part of the universe that, is where everything comes from.
Right. I guess.
She didn't put the two together. Yeah.
Well, honestly, I think that's the best description. As humans, we want to put a name to something. As humans, we want to put a face to something. We want to put a form. Mm-hmm. And we can't perceive, our human minds can't perceive really what it is. We can feel, and then our bodies will interpret it. St. Michael may be her way of interpreting God, the highest being that we interpret.
I have discussions with this with clients all the time, and I talk with the angels, and they're like, I don't understand, or do you understand what I'm talking about, angels? Oh, yes, definitely, If you start off with the higher beings or the higher energies, they look at you like you got four heads. So in order to give them an angel, you give them that shape, that form, that something that they can touch, feel, and see.
Well, from what I remember now that you said that, I do remember her saying something like the heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't actually go back, and I could have pushed further, but I was actually saying it as a joke, to say, like, who created the angels, then, if you believe in them.
Yeah.
But you're right, you could, obviously, there's a hierarchy, because she dropped the saint, obviously, which I tell people to do, too, because, I agree that very pompous of man to say that we're going to bestow sainthood upon an immortal being,
Yeah,
but, that's just tradition. Again, it's a tradition of that denomination. They chose. Matter of fact, the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church, they all refer to the angels as saints too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's meant the same way. I think it's meant as an honorary title.
It's exactly
not
what it is.
As it's you are deemed to be like a saint as a special person. So there's actually two definitions of saint. So that could be a whole other show. But I could have gone down that road with her. I just didn't go into the whole hierarchy thing because she was using archangel instead. And we could have went with choirs of angels, and what about the cherubs and the seraphim and all that stuff.
Right.
So does there have to be a God or a God force? Or Erica, you kind of, you're not, I guess, per se Christian, but you've had multiple viewpoints. You come from Wiccan, from pagan, from a lot of different, you're kind of like me, a little bit more of a mishmash.
So what's the question?
So, could you see angels existing without God? Would that be something, or does it need to be a creator, an ultimate source for everything to come out of?
Well, I'm kind of biased because when I was younger, I didn't have a father figure, so I always thought of God as a father figure, and I didn't know who God was. So, to me, he just exists. It exists. It's the, every time I feel happy, every time I feel good about anything, it's that force behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, so for me, what was the question? Does he have to exist?
Yeah. I mean,
does exist.
In this woman's mind, God did not have to exist for the angels to exist. The angels could have spontaneously appeared on their own.
Well, I spoke to her a few times because I met her a few times, and she was, she had a lot of friends that had a lot of the spiritual backgrounds and did a lot of meditation, and she didn't know how to say the heartbeat. I think she did feel that there was this heartbeat, a quote-unquote God, but she didn't know how to say it when we're in her house questioning her about what she believes.
Well,
but she felt comfortable, saying Archangel Michael.
Because she's... doesn't want to remember that part of the religion.
Yeah.
That word, I think, probably in some senses offends her to say it, although she believes in it.
Well, and it's also the way I grew up, I don't know how to identify myself to people. When people ask me, I kind of stammer, and I answer what they say. If they're Christian, I'll just play Christian. Because how do you identify that? And when you've been through so many years kind of like beaten down by Catholicism, it's hard for you to spit out anything that has anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it. You kind of, especially being, I'm going to seminary, you're going to the same place I'm going.
Yes.
And it's kind of like it's a multi-faith, interfaith kind of thing. And while I'm predominantly been raised Christian and my belief system definitely tends to lean towards that, I do have questions because of what I was taught. I realize is simply not true or can't possibly be true. And I find truth in other religions, but they don't conflict. So I can do, I'll do the chameleon thing too. Some people I think because they're the programming they get growing up. I don't want to knock the Catholic Church because you can go, we could point to the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormon Church or any other, you know, denomination. Even we can get with the Islam where they're taking it young and then taking to the madrasas and mm-hmm. program that way. At that point, it's the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. It's hard that when you grow up and finally get to that point where you see some of these discrepancies, how do you decide that you're going to work with it and try to make things fit or understand, or do you completely shut down and say, screw this, none of this could possibly be right? And we come across a lot of people that...
I don't think it's either. I don't think you want to shut down nor try and work with it and try and make it fit. I think our instincts tell us the truth. The problem is our brains try and out-talk our hearts and our instincts.
I think it has something to do, with what we do. A lot of people don't believe in spirits, don't believe in the afterlife, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, because they were told it doesn't happen, all right? You don't talk to dead people, all right? It doesn't, you're crazy.
It doesn't exist.
That. It doesn't exist. So we shut it down. I think with religion, we do the same thing.
Agreed.
I think we shut it down, and we don't let ourselves just go with what we feel.
It's putting a box around something that cannot be boxed.
Right.
I mean, I'm raising my child Catholic. The reason, and I'm a very open-minded individual. You know, we see a lot. We see things that are happening. But I do believe, you know, again, not knocking any religion. Any religion for children is a good foundation for them to be able to believe spiritually
just
what
to
exists.
Start with something and then make up their mind.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And as a parent, my job is to make sure, because it's humans teaching this religion. You know, we don't have angels coming down here teaching our kids.
Right.
We have humans, and they're teaching what they were taught. And unfortunately, back in the day, with Catholics, I went to CCD. God was a vengeful God. The angels smote. I mean, there was a lot of killing. You did not have a lot of room. If you said God in vain, you sinned. And you became afraid of God. Mm-hmm. And I could see kids being scared and pushing that away, saying, wait a minute, that's not making sense to me. So, you know, my job is to make sure that I can keep him on the right path and understand that if somebody tells him that God is a vengeful God, to explain to him perhaps what they're talking about, that he's not going to sit there and strike you down.
Right.
You know, it's just not going to happen. It's a loving God.
I actually think that there are a few universal truths, mm-hmm. and those universal truths that have to do with, like, love everyone and, you know, following Jesus, following every religion will have someone or gods or goddesses that say the same thing.
The golden rule.
Yes.
The golden rule of do unto others as you have them do unto you. Even though some religions put it in reverse, that is the golden rule, and it's across every world religion.
Mm-hmm.
Without, you know, there's none that don't have.
Our job is to live on this planet peacefully, is what our job is, and to keep that balance.
And I really think the reason why we go to a faith that we do is because of our surroundings, mm-hmm. our family.
Yes.
And if you find something in a faith that you end up coming against and it contrasts who you are and what you think is true, then you'll leave and you'll find something else. But I think they're all kind of, like, similar. They're all striving towards the same thing. But you get, like Kim said, a lot of humans, a lot of, you know, interpretation, and other people don't believe that because spirit does not speak in human words. Mm-hmm. It speaks in that silence, you know, mm-hmm. and only that silence can be understood by more silence.
And we are programmed to pick that up. We just don't listen to it.
Let me ask you a question, because you just said something that I find interesting. Talking to John Zaffis all the time, when we used to talk about theology or any kind of religion, he referred to it as spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not spirits, it was spirit.
You
are the second person I've ever heard refer to it like that. I've never heard it like that. I was never taught like that. And even doing all the learning now for the seminary, I haven't seen anybody refer to it.
Refer to what?
Like, as spirit. Saying,
the energy, the
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
You're right, you're right. That's,
I think it's the amount of reading that you do, that you try to find a universal way to speak to people, and that's how it is. And I personally believe that, in the end, God is absolutely everything and everyone, and the silence.
Mm-hmm.
So it is singular. It's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, that makes sense to me, because I'm, you know, not to shatter anyone's, you know, belief system here or whatever, but, you know, the Trinity is man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the great schism between the Eastern Church and the Western Church was because one accepted it and one didn't. They needed a way to define Jesus' divinity. And the way that they found was to create this thing called the Trinity. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
exist in the Bible. It's man-made completely. Almost 1,000 years after, you know, Christ was born. So it's...
Well, something interesting to that, though, especially in Catholicism, and this is just because my knowledge of the theological end of it, is that the creed within the Catholic Church refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God is referred in all three. It is one.
Right. But that creed... is what caused the Great Schism. when the Pope excommunicated the Eastern Orthodox Church,
mm-hmm.
it was over the fact that they refused to say the creed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it's worded, it's in other parts, it also refers to as almost the Holy Spirit would then have to, if you're looking at three in one, the Holy Spirit would have to come from Jesus too. Because come forth. Because then...
In interpretation,
right. But same way... Jesus came, was begotten of the Son, then the Holy Spirit would be begotten of God. But by default, since Jesus and God are the same person, you start getting.
But
the
yeah,
whole
it all goes back. And again, it's a human interpretation of.
But
when we were done.
I like spirit. Better.
Oh, spirit's an excellent way.
Because then instead of having to say Yahweh, God, Allah, or
mm-hmm.
whoever else, you know, the goddess, spirit. Covers it all.
Encompasses everything.
Absolutely.
I like that, actually.
And I really think that man, one of the ways that they get power is to actually make confusion and actually start dissecting and name and put a word on something that's nameless.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get power over other people, because you're over here arguing about this creed and is God separate, when really the truth is the silence.
Is that man doing that? Or is that something else... helping men along down that path?
Well, I think that's man's innate thing to understand the world. That's how when we were first, you know, if you believe in a certain, you know, that we came as whole, when we went, we saw that it was dark and fire, and we make gods and goddesses to represent these things because we don't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And we represent, and we make stories, and we make myths, and that's what we do. We make stories to understand our lives, but that doesn't mean the stories are necessarily true.
Well, you have to put a face to the name. I mean, you have to put a name to the face.
That's
everybody
what we do.
Has to have a face, and then they have to have a name on top of it.
Oh, everyone pictures God, the Father, as Michelangelo's God,
right.
The old man up on the cloud,
right.
You know, floating
naked.
Down. Yeah, I pictured God as George Burns. Who played it in the...
What's his name in...
guy from Electric Company.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
He was
yes.
the best God yet. So, okay.
Because he was awesome.
So,
but I don't know how many people sit and ask me, well, who are my angels and what do they look like and what are their names? They don't look like anything and they don't have names and just know they're there.
See, that's
the people can't, they can't grasp
but
and they can't hold on to that.
Can they have physical manifestations?
Yes, they can. They do it for us, though.
Yes.
But now, are the angels' manifestations, would they vary? I mean, obviously, there's typical... When you study angelology, and you know, you're an angel, you know, practitioner, therapist,
mm-hmm.
kind of... See, and you have that training. Do they... I mean, one of the things I know, especially, like, going through Doreen Virtue stuff...
Right.
She assigns, like, colors. There's even certain objects or representations that, throughout the years, that cross over different denominations, different beliefs, and even going into some pagan beliefs of these angels...
Right.
Like, you know, the scales, you know, and the shield and the sword being of Michael, Raphael being the healer, all these things and the different colors that correspond with that. Is that universal, or did, can I see Gabriel or Gabrielle,
Depending on...
Right, see, I think it's Gabrielle, personally, because what the angel that I saw, that I felt, that I knew, to me, that was Archangel Gabrielle, was, while they say there's no
gender,
right. This was a more feminine...
Right.
And a Jophiel I've seen before, too, because I had a message for someone who, that was their angel, and she wasn't able to get through, and she thought that the angel had abandoned her. And when I was getting my third eye opened, Jophiel came through, and, you know...
But that's how we're programmed.
Yeah, but
is that just something I'm seeing?
Yes.
So I understand?
Yes. So you understand. You, how many times have you heard they don't speak in other voices? They talk in your own to give you guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That's so you are not afraid of them. Now, if they appeared that way to someone else, that may frighten that person. So they have to appear to the person in a way that's loving, caring, and not doesn't make them fearful.
And to answer your question, you basically... We have a stream of consciousness. We're all connected. And some people even believe that you can connect with past lives and other things that are beyond because it's all one consciousness. You can reach anything. So any thought that you ever had comes into being. So when people were originally thinking of this concept of angel and they were coming into contact and they started to associate things with these angels, it followed down the line and it made a stronger thread within that consciousness. So people across... the way we'll see, never heard of an angel, and we'll see an angel in those colors because we're all connected.
We have a comment on here, Granny of Five on the chat board. Would you please refer to Christian concepts like the Creed and the Trinity as Christian, not Catholic? Have you not heard of the Protestants? Yes, we've heard of the Protestants, at least I have. Although I understand what you're saying about... referred to them as Christian, the Trinity is not a Christian concept because not all sects of Christianity accept that. Just the Eastern Church alone. I'm baptized by the Catholic Church. I was I transferred over to the Episcopal Church. Okay, they do things exactly the same. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because of the way I was baptized. In the name of all three and three in one by the Trinity, I could not get communion or attend a Orthodox church, which is the other half of Christianity, because they do not believe in the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic, after the schism, remember, the schism happened first, then the Protestant Reformation after. The Protestants did take a lot of the Catholic teachings and went on. So yes, they do still honor the Trinity. But we're going back to historical points here when we're talking about this. It was the Catholic part of it that originally created the Trinity. And a lot of, the Immaculate Conception, all these other things that some of the other religions didn't need to create that do not recognize, which is primarily the Eastern Church. You're talking the other half of the world. You're talking about everything from the Eastern Orthodox is closest to what the original church was out of Jerusalem, and that hasn't changed for the past 1,000 years. The Catholic Church has, and they've adopted these other things. So we're not, when we're saying Catholic and we're saying Christian, we're trying to be as particular as possible, but we're not knocking the Catholics. But what you're saying about the Trinity and the Creed being Christian, they are not. The Eastern Church was actually excommunicated because they refused to say the Nicene Creed. So it's not a Christian thing, it would be a Catholic thing.
And plus, my apologies, too. This is Kim. I am a practicing Catholic, and that's why I referred to it as Catholic, because that's my knowledge base. So, you know, it obviously is a full-blown Christian. I understand where you're coming from, but my apologies for just referring to it as Catholic.
Yeah, we try to... When we're talking about... That's why you talk about religion. It becomes touchy, especially mm-hmm. Christianity. But you have to understand the whole... most people don't... they understand what they went through
yes.
And what they were taught. It's when you look at other things beyond what you were taught and then start to question, that doesn't make you a bad person. My mom actually left the Catholic Church when I was younger because she started reading the Bible when she wasn't able to go to work anymore. She was raising me when I was like 1 and 2. And she started going to her local Catholic Church and asking questions. Now, here's someone born and raised Catholic. She had all the way through from, I guess, like first grade through 12th grade. she had questions now because some of the things didn't jive. Like if you read Genesis, we'll just use Genesis as a perfect example.
Yeah.
We created, let us create them in our image. That's a quote, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
That's God speaking. Who is he talking to? Okay, that's what they use as basis for the Trinity. Because he must be talking to someone to say our image. And since those books are supposed to be written by the hand of God, the five books of Moses, there's supposed to be no fault in them, he can't be talking to anybody else around because there's no one yet. He hasn't created anybody yet. But then he makes man. We'll skip that part. That's for the Trinity part. Now he skips to the part where he creates man and woman from the dust and dirt of the earth. Now skip down a few chapters. That's when we get to Adam needed a partner and he created Eve from the rib bone of Adam. Now, just doing basic arithmetic, this is directly from Genesis. Pull out your Bible now and read it. There are two women. One disappears because she was created from dust.
Typical man.
Just, so where did she go? Now, the Midrash and a lot of the Jewish books that are the verbal tradition that go along with the Torah, they teach, and I know this because my wife is reading all this stuff now. She was, her father and grandfather were Jewish, and she's trying to get in touch with her Jewish roots now. And she's coming and asking me questions, and I'm having more questions back. And we're kind of going, wow, I didn't realize that. Because she recognized that reading the Genesis right away. Like, wow, there's two women here. What's going on? The same thing with Noah's flood. There's two versions of the flood. Actually, he doesn't take two of every animal in the one version. He takes two of the clean animals and the unclean animals. I don't want to be misquoted. He takes clean and unclean of the same species. He takes more of one than the other. So that's more than two animals of each species. So that's differing from the other account in the same book of the Bible. So there's discrepancies. Why are they in there? They must be in there for a reason. When you're taught, and even the way I was taught, we'll just pick on the Episcopal right now. I went to, from 5 years old on, I went to all the Episcopal, you know, Sunday school, the youth groups, all that stuff. I was taught basically the same thing. We'll tell you what you need to know. You know, we'll decipher it for you. And when I would ask the priest, why aren't the dinosaurs in the Bible?
We didn't get on Noah's Ark.
I would have accepted that answer. The only answer I've ever gotten in 44 years of being on this planet, one Monsignor of a Catholic church that I was actually doing the website for answered, saying there's creatures that go extinct every day. He created the dinosaurs just like he created everything else. The Bible doesn't list every species he created. Mm-hmm. Some are extinct now. Answer done. Makes perfect sense. It fits with the Bible. Every other priest I asked before that would tell me things like, they couldn't have existed with man, or they didn't exist. It's the devil's trick. I mean, I've heard so many different things to the fact, or going down to the default, and this is going to Episcopal priests. We'll decipher this for you. It's metaphorical. It's not literal. Well, tell that to the Jews, because
exactly.
The Torah is the literal word of God. And of course, that's why we adopted it as the Old Testament too, because last time I checked, Jesus and the apostles and all those, his mother and father were Jewish too.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the big fights in the early Christianity, whether the Gentiles had to convert over to Christianity or convert to Judaism first before they become Christians. So, I mean, we can't just throw that all away. You know, it's part of the Christian tradition too. But you'd be surprised how many answers.
And it's funny, you used the word tradition. That's probably the key word in this entire conversation is tradition.
Right. How much is tradition? How much is... And at what point did tradition outweigh the what the actual words in the Bible were?
Yes.
And people just kind of went with it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, when a lot of these things were created by the churches, I'm not knocking the Catholic Church. The church that I grew up and belonged to was created because a king couldn't get his divorce.
Hey.
He wanted to marry his third wife that he eventually beheaded. So let's not say the Anglican or Episcopal Church was created out of like some great miracle of God. Okay, there was other motives behind that. So having said that, I mean, there are... I'm still trying to read that too. Now I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Oh, we're talking tradition versus literal word of God.
Okay. I was force-fed all that same kind of stuff, and I learned afterwards, starting when I started to read stuff or read other books, to see that, hey, this doesn't match up with what I was taught. Just, you know, how many people go beyond that? And that was going to the Middle Ages. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that were created for, like, feast days, no meat on Fridays, a lot of these things that we take now as tradition,
yes,
were based on things, even confession, mm-hmm. Which the Episcopal Church does not do, the Protestant Church does not do. I am not sure if the Orthodox Church does it or not, to be honest with you. I know it's only, the only church I am positive that does it is the Catholic.
Catholic.
It's not Roman Catholic, it could be the New Traditionalist Catholic, mm-hmm. the American Catholic. There's other derivatives of the Catholic Church, too. They still do it, even though now it's reconciliation.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily Pence. Done in the booth where you can't see the priest so he can see you. Now it's done almost like across
the
table.
You get a choice.
A one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's more or less where you get the... It's now it's... Middle Ages created it almost as if now this priest has all this dirt on you. That can you, so if he wants you, you're a guy who builds roofs. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. church needs a hole repaired. He knows you've been cheating on your wife for all your other sins. Are you going to say no to him? You know, it's like the same thing with the holy, a lot of the feast days. The feast days that are holy days of obligation now out of tradition
yes.
corresponded with harvest mm-hmm. time when the peasants who could not read the Bible to know any different or know any better, their information came solely from the church.
That's right.
That all, that was, they had more money, basically. So they would tithe more, they'd give their 10%, they'd have more to give during those holy days of obligation. Not to say they're bad things, but were they created out of the right thing, then abused, and now going back to being whether a right thing, but we kind of forget why they were originally created altogether. We're talking 2,000 years of history here.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that we do that we have no idea.
Well, look at the holidays. Look at Christmas. Look at Easter from a Christian standpoint. Christmas has turned into a very commercial holiday, as has Easter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got an Easter bunny and you've got Santa Claus, who used to be actually a saint, but became a man in a red suit that comes down your chimney. Became a tradition.
You know what I find is irony? Being have worked in like the retail field, especially where you get like your days off, or even like the federal holidays, or but especially like retail now more so. Almost every store now is closed on Christmas because it's a religious holiday. But Easter they're open because
oh, yeah.
that's not a religious holiday. So the birth of the same guy that died or rebirth, you know, however you want to celebrate Easter the whole weekend. That's they're the same person we're talking about here. But one is religious, one's not. And then they say, well, the Easter Bunny. I'm like, well, Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But Christmas, they know, historically, he wasn't born on December 25th.
Exactly.
Right? They know why they picked December 25th. It was because of the Roman holiday mm-hmm. of Saturnalia, the feast, which was the birth of the sun. We just changed the U to the O. And it was easier to convert the Romans when Constantine made it the Christianity, the religion of the empire. And to create, there was other religious holidays already around it because it was so close to the winter solstice. So it was already easier to say this is the birth of the Son of God. Now, Easter's a different story. They pretty much have nailed down the time frame because they know when Passover was.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that it happened the week of Passover. That happened, you know, they know when Good Friday had to be.
Yes.
So they're pretty sure that that's the historical date. So the historical date's secular to the world, but the date that was completely... Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, we'll pick this one because it sounds good, is the religious state that everyone recognizes for Christmas. Just a little irony I throw out
but
there.
But again, there's that tradition, too, that's put in there that
exactly.
is not necessarily straight from God, although maybe it is. Maybe that's his gift to us. I mean, to enjoy these things beyond the religious significance. We don't know. We really can't pigeonhole anything. I truly believe, across the board, that we are given good things and bad things to keep a balance in life. And I know I'm kind of going off on a little tangent here, but because, you know, you look at Christmas and you look at Easter, and, you know, to a point, other holidays that are celebrated by other religions, some of them are also have become quite commercial in their own right, with games that they play and things like that, that you look at these holidays and some people think, well, you shouldn't be celebrating the fun part of the holiday. It is because of this religion. Well, yeah, it is. And it is, you know, and for most people, they deeply... honor that holiday, But then that fun part of it almost makes it the feast after the honor, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So there's tradition in both ends of it.
And Granny has another comment about the... She was raised in the Episcopal Church and was never discouraged from personal study. With the exception of one priest that I had when I was growing up that was an exception to all the rules, he encouraged us, and he would ask... He would literally be the devil's advocate. He's the one that first pointed out there was two Genesis stories to me, two Noah stories to me, many other discrepancies, and then he would bring them up as conversation. Other Episcopal priests I've had along the way will not engage in that same kind of conversation. They tend to be more traditionalist. This guy definitely was not your traditional Episcopal priest. So I really think, and same thing with Catholic priests or any priest from any denomination, it really depends on the priests themselves. Because having worked with so many different priests through the paranormal field, doing the different, you know, harsher cases, we can see some are more ready to believe or ready to admit they believe, and other ones are very open-minded, or the other ones are completely closed off. And it depends on where they were trained, who trained them, even what country they were trained in. We dealt with a Filipino Catholic priest who was talking to us about his psychic abilities and how he was picking up on... He wanted to see what we picked up about the spirit in the house before he performed the cleansing and the house blessing, which turned into basically a minor exorcism, because he went back and was hitting the areas twice that we picked up on that we never told him. But he came back after we told him what we felt. He went into even more detail about the nature of the spirit, how it had died. That's the only Catholic priest I've ever met that sat down and was willing to talk to eight or nine people, that eight of us, which he had just met, about he had psychic abilities or whatever, because that's something necessary might be frowned on by the overall community, you know. But apparently not in his community.
Yeah, I think there's a fear amongst the clergy, clerics across the board, in all religions, all faiths, all beliefs. There is a fear of thinking outside the box, of, you know, thinking maybe there's something beyond what I'm reading, or maybe there's something beyond what I'm doing here. They're robots, a lot of them. And this is nothing to knock anybody, because I would never judge, but I see robots.
See, now Bill and Mandy are sitting here, and they're the perfect examples of why I wanted to go down this road with conversation. I was hoping we would go down this road with the angel comment. It's going exactly where I wanted it. Because they're sitting here, and it's the WTF.
They're not getting that. I mean,
they are going like, what? This is paranormal straight talk. What the hell are we talking about? What does this have to do with the paranormal ghost whatsoever?
No, because I didn't have a story with that. I mean,
but it does have a lot to do with it, because we deal, every time we deal with a client, we deal with their belief system. Not only their belief system, but the way they perceive their belief system. We had the one woman, we were there with Adam Bly on a case probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm not sure if you were there or not. She was living with a Lutheran minister. They were not married, but they were cohabitating. She was being physically assaulted by what she said was a demon. We saw the scratches on her leg. The scratches were deep scratches from the knee down to the ankle, singular scratches. The minister had actually seen them appear. The woman had seen them appear. We arrived just after one appeared, because we had pictures of her leg the day before from other older scratches. So it had to have happened within almost 12 hours of us being there. Didn't seem like somebody who would be doing it to herself. Neither of them seemed like they'd be dishonest. Especially the minister had no reason to make that up. He had a lot of reason to not be having us in the house at all, because he was already going to be in trouble with his ministry and his congregation anyway. For other reasons, this was just going to complicate things. But her belief was so strong, Jesus loves her, and this is something that she knew absolutely, which is wonderful. But because Jesus loves her, she couldn't possibly be being attacked by demons. And I said, well, where did you get the scratch on your leg? Oh, well, this thing with claws did it. Okay, so let's forget. We don't have to call it a demon, okay? Jesus loves you. He is always protecting you. You have a scratch on your leg. Yes. Okay. Here's where... Yeah, this went on for an hour before I found... Adam actually is the one who finally just somebody has to get loud on somebody eventually. When you got, he's like, look, eventually you have to step out of your belief. This is your belief system. This is your faith. Not knocking and not telling you to disbelieve. But you have a scratch in your leg. You're getting scratched. You're getting attacked by something that you can see that does not fit into anything that your belief system tells you that you're protected from. Yet you are saying basically it can't happen because of your beliefs. Yet it is happening. You need to justify the two. It's happening, and Jesus loves you. they don't negate each other. She could not wrap her head around that. You could see her, just the wheels spinning in her head. Even the minister was understanding it, and he was trying to explain it to her. And this is the man that she was living with, was in love with, everything, and she knew his belief system. She trusted him. We were just strangers. He was trying to explain it to her. He called us in because he couldn't get that through to her. And that just made her more vulnerable because she couldn't accept that God might be allowing this to happen for a purpose. And that's, people get possessed. Mm-hmm. People get attacked. That means the angels that are around you, the guardian angels, the Jesus, whatever divine spirit that you have, your spirit guides, whatever denomination, whatever faith you believe in, something let that happen. Okay? The day you get in the car crash, your guardian angels were probably riding in the passenger seat. Maybe they got out of the car right before. Why? Because that was meant to happen. Things are meant to happen. Things do happen. They happen, and God allows them to happen. That is why you have to understand, have a larger understanding, or at least a working knowledge of the religions. And yes, we're talking about Christianity predominantly, because probably 90% of the people we deal with are Christians, although we've had clients from all faiths. But we get a lot of Christians that have lost their faith. We had a couple in Philadelphia, for instance, that we kind of brought back from, they were at the point where he was no longer going to church. He was born and raised Catholic, Roman Catholic. He had thought God had abandoned him. And we worked him back to going back to church every day, and that was a 2-year ordeal just to get him that far. Then we still have the problem with the other negative stuff involved. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the screen too. We're trying to do chat, looking at the chat. This is the first time we're getting some really good chat questions or comments thrown in here. Plus, have this whole conversation and pay attention to everything at the same time. It's a little trick. And also, it's also almost a quarter of already. It's like that's 45 minutes that fast. So the reason why this relates to the paranormal ultimately is because we are dealing with people. We are dealing with spirits, which means you are dealing with the spiritual, which means you are dealing with people's belief systems. Mm-hmm. Whether you want to call it religion, beliefs, faith, you know, people stray away from organized religion. Organized religion isn't a bad thing. That doesn't mean you stray away from, because you don't like the way that organization runs its religion. Doesn't mean you have to throw everything else away. Sometimes people who are being bombarded, even with human spirits that are negative in nature, you know, the jerk or the, you know, the real, you know, crabby old woman that lives in the house, by coming back and finding something you can find faith in and draw strength from, you can create a more positive environment. And positive, you know, going down to like the new age, I guess, you know, version of it, positive energy is what negates the negative energy. Law of attraction, like attracts like. You need to create that. One of the easiest ways to create that is through someone's belief system. So understanding and having a working knowledge of that belief system, sometimes just going on a preliminary visit and talking people through. Like, I didn't try to talk that woman back into believing in God. That doesn't matter. She had faith. Ultimately, she was praying to St. Michael. Perfect. Mm-hmm. That was her, or Archangel Michael. Mm-hmm. That was working for her. And through that, she had gained enough strength that the pattern of this house, they had been there, three years, I think? The house, 6 years prior to that, every 2 years, couples had moved out. Always had, they had lost their jobs, got divorced, disintegrated, the family fell apart, and they left. They were on that same path. The husband had lost his job. They were arguing and fighting. They were heading down the same road. She drew faith from someone who put her in touch with the angel concept, drew strength from Archangel Michael, and refused to let it happen. And they're still there after 3 years. The husband got a job. Now, they're still having stuff happen. That's why they called us in. But they broke the cycle simply by having some form of belief system. And understanding that, I could easily see other groups come in who are now going to come and try to force feed the Christian concept to them. Like, my question was a joke. Well, who created the angels then? Just to see what you would say. I could see other people not doing that as a joke and getting hurt. Well, you need to go to church. You need to have the house blessed. You need all that. We never even brought up house blessing. We never brought up going to church. What she was doing was working. You got to know where and when to stop and at what level and understand the belief systems and how they work and how people will, how the people understand their own belief system. Because you could probably do a secret survey at the end of Sunday Mass and get 100% different answers on the same questions from the same people who just said the same Mass. Mm-hmm. Ask them what the sermon was about. Ask them what the lessons and the gospel was about and their interpretation, and you probably would get unique answers. But see, to me, that's the magic of that. It's almost like when I read During Virtue's Messages from Your Angels. Mm-hmm. I read the first part that supposedly, you know, she says was dictated to her by Archangel Michael.
Right.
I read that, and I'm like, you know, get out of here. She's talking to me. This is specific events in my life. It couldn't possibly be about anybody else.
Well, how many people have said that about church? They sat in a sermon and they said, oh my God, how did you know I was going through that? How many other people were going through something similar and took a different message out of it?
Yes.
That's the beauty of everything. Expand it to it. People who, their whole life is music. I mean, people hear, you connect with that song. That song's talking just to you. You know, they must have wrote it just for your situation right now. They wrote that 3 years ago somewhere else, in, you know, another country, recorded it a year ago before your situation even started.
Sitting at the bar was trying to figure out something that'll make money.
But right. What made that song play at that particular time?
Right. But exactly.
Right.
Those words resonated with you. Does it matter? Well, does the rest matter? No, it doesn't. The how you get to that point doesn't matter. The fact that you got to that point and that connected and that gave you some sort of emotional boost, that's what matters. And that's what we're looking for dealing with clients in the paranormal. It's a very important thing. I think all the groups should sit down, and I know a lot of people kind of stray away from this. Like, I wasn't, when Granny made her comment about the Christian and Catholic, some people would have, I could easily say, okay, let's change topic here. We're getting people upset about talking about we were trying, and we did explain it to her. She understood that. But, like, some people stray away from this conversation. Probably one of our next roundtables, we're going to eliminate Christianity altogether like it never happened. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about every other religion that we can think of, including pagan, agnostics, and atheists. Because suppose atheists is being attacked by something. What do they do?
Yeah, how do you handle that?
Because I have handled that, and there is a way to do it. See, that I'll keep it, that's a little cliffhanger. Tune in next time. How to deal with atheist clients. Because it's not to start preaching the gospel to them.
Mm-mm.
It's not to start preaching any religion to them. Because they don't believe in God. You're wasting your time. You're not going to suddenly convert an atheist over. You know, if you do, more power to you. We'll put your name in blessed first, right? You get your blessed before your sainthood. Now, I think that's how they work it now. But it's not going to happen. You've got to go about it a different route. And being able to adapt and suspend your religious beliefs and not impose them on other people. That is probably cases we get that are cleanup cases. Not so much recently, I'd say probably the past few years, but more so going back maybe 6-7 years ago. A lot of the cleanup cases we got were cases that were people were being force-fed. And primarily, unfortunately, it was by the Wiccan and Pagan community, which is already misunderstood. And, you know, like I tell people, I hide my cross under my shirt. We've had people that were people who were Jewish or pagan or whatever. When we had people that used to wear the pentacle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the pentagram. I don't want to say the wrong thing. The pentacle. They would wear that. Or they'd wear like the other symbols, like they have the goddess, you know, the tree of life, anything at all. Yeah. That's still a Christian symbol, though.
Well,
pagan,
yeah,
Christian.
But, yeah.
Anyway, I make everyone tuck it in their shirt because we're going in as neutral.
Mm-hmm.
we have to go in as neutral. We can't put anything out there because that automatically puts the people at a distance. Some people, unfortunately, hear Wicca, oh, witches, okay. Well, that's the thing, same thing as thinking voodoo is bad. Voodoo isn't bad at all. Hoodoo is the bad version of voodoo. There's a bad version of every religion. And now, now I'm going to pick on the Christians, and I can't because I'm Christian. I'm not saying Catholics, anybody. Remember, I'm saying Christians here. Let's just pick on the Christians. Let's just use the Spanish Inquisition as an example of slight mistake.
A little bit.
The selling of indulgences to get your family out of purgatory. You know, these things were not the good side of Christianity, okay? There's people who practice black magic. Does that make them Wiccan? No. Wiccan is religion. Religion that believes in, worships nature and the earth, basically. God's creation. Mm-hmm. Where if anybody gets the whole concept that God is everywhere, or goddess, or the supreme being, or that energy
spirit.
Is everywhere, the spirit is everywhere, the Wiccans get it. Mm-hmm. They see it in everything.
Yeah.
Same reason why I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church. See, now I can quote the Gospel of Thomas. You don't need to go to church. I don't personally need to go to church. Because I can go out, sit by a creek, and go in my backyard. I can sit in my car because all the materials that were made from, the car was made from, God made too. It doesn't matter where you are. God is everywhere. So you don't have to go to a specific place to participate in that worship. The community of it helps people.
Yeah.
That's where people... Is that what you were just about to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the reason why even like Wicca and other faiths, it's the community, it's getting together, it's sharing, it's, you know, your beliefs are one thing and my beliefs are another, but when you come together and you share and worship together, it makes it stronger. You're combining, you know...
Fellowship.
Yeah.
Well, see, where people run into problems with any of this is when they use their religion, faith, belief as a crutch and practice denial and think that it's going to make everything okay. When you have to have that belief deep in your heart, you have to have the understanding and that faith and, you know why you're there, not just from the social. There has to be a balanced reason with Wiccan, with Christianity, with any of the religions.
Well, and I noticed, too, that a lot of times when people have something happen to them in their childhood or whatever, then they go to a certain faith and they believe in it so much, they become so fearful,
yes,
that then they don't know how to accept anything else because they're so fearful. So they use it as like a blanket, as like you said, a crutch.
And that's when the denial comes in. When something happens to them, they're in total denial. They need to open up their minds and understand that, you know, maybe what's being put in front of you is part of your religion. You're just not seeing it.
Very true. Now, I would encourage... I know, I usually say so much more when I say, like, two words. It's like, wow.
You didn't hear me.
What?
You didn't listen.
I wasn't listening to anything you said. I was trying to type something in here. Marty, that's when you're supposed to come in. You were listening to her.
I was paying attention.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Kim.
Marty's just nodding.
On the podcast, I'll listen back. I'll be like, now I know what she said.
It wasn't just me. It was Erica, by the way. So you got
Erica was talking to him?
Dope.
I listened to the first part of you. I got that first part. Then the fellowship and the whole thing and that. Then I...
All right, the hole's really dug now.
All right.
See, I did chime in, so I was listening.
You did, I heard you.
Because right. I don't think we're broadcasting anymore. I think we timed out, but we're recording, so this is all
good.
The podcast now. So this is like even more encouragement for people to listen to the
keep
podcast.
Listening. Keep listening.
I would encourage all groups just to have that conversation to everybody. Don't think of it, it doesn't have to be an argument. We don't have to have... It's not my dad can beat up your dad, my religion's better than your religion, my God's going to smite your God. You can sit there and have a conversation, an intelligent conversation, about what you believe and why you believe it. And if you're in this field, you automatically need to be opened up to stuff that we believe in, disembodied voices and things other people can't see. And, you know, when you... If a doctor ever asks you, do you hear voices or see things other people don't see? You know, how do you answer that? You know, because of the guys with the white suits waiting outside the door?
You say, yes, but I don't need medication for that.
Okay.
I've already had that one.
That's not why I'm here. Yeah. Well, yes, there are voices in my head, but... Yeah.
I know who they are, and I know what they mean.
Right. They like me. Yeah.
It's all good.
And they know me. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
They all know me.
It's a good conversation for all groups to have, because not only do you get to know your fellow members a lot better. It bonds the group together, but it will make you a stronger group when dealing with clients. It's not all just about going in with your equipment and reading stuff and seeing if you detect stuff. If you're really trying to be the group that helps people, you have to understand people. You have to understand where they're coming from, where their fears are based, what their belief system are. So if you don't understand your own belief system, maybe someone else can enlighten you and give you a twist on what you believe. Or maybe you'll find your belief system or the way you were raised isn't what you necessarily believe now, and you find an alternative to it that works much better for you and now enlightens you and enables you to help. If you can't help yourself and you don't understand what you believe, how are you supposed to help other people when they're not sure what they believe or why they believe it or what the hell's going on in their house because there's footsteps that they can't, and there's no one there, doors are opening, closing by themselves. I mean, we're dealing with crazy stuff. The religion stuff has to play a part in that. It is interwoven in it. Like I said, you're dealing with the spirit. Spirituality is embodied in that. There's no separating. There's no separating religious and belief systems from the paranormal. It can't be done. Unless you're strictly doing just a scientific investigation, and then again, I'll say it again, you have no business being in private houses to begin with, because unless they are aware that they are not getting any help from you, they are just getting answers whether you scientifically prove ghosts exist or not. And the answer to you now is no, you can't scientifically prove ghosts exist. So I've just solved your problem. You don't need to go to private houses because it can't be done. Collecting data at private houses, different stories. As long as they know that and that's what you're there for and they are fully aware you're not there to help them understand anything, do anything other than you gathering data, that's fine. It's where the scientific groups go in and they think they're going to come up with some way and by telling the people that are afraid to have ghosts, no, you don't have one, you have three. Good job. That was my big thumbs up for this radio. Yeah, big thumbs up because you really helped out. That's when our groups get called in, the other groups that help, saying, we had this other group come out here and we were doing so. Now we're scared shitless because it's totally off the charts now because we thought we had one. Now we got three. What are we going to do? It exponentially got worse. So just keep that in mind, scientific-minded groups. Not knocking you. There's plenty for everybody. There are plenty of places you can go do your work. Just, we should all subscribe to a line of ethics. And the ethics go across the line of whether you're here to help people, whether you're doing it for hobby, or whether you're doing it for scientific methods. They all, the well-being of the people in the homes come first, no matter what type of group you are. Okay. As long as we put that first, we're all going to be better groups and better people and serve the paranormal community better. And on that note, we are out of time, so until next week, when hopefully we're going to have a better internet connection. I don't know what's going on, but next week we are going to have Billy Bean on. He was featured on season 2 of The Haunted. He is a very interesting guy. He's got a great story to tell. I'm going to put some links up so you can see the episode, and so you can find out more about how he fought back against the demonic in his house and how it, ultimately, he became like a more devout believer in God than he was before because of it. So until next week, everyone stay safe out there.
Have a good one.